All right. So turn within your Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 for our first reading. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired Word of God. For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write unto you, for I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had notice before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Okay, well, there are several things in this passage that are pertinent and very important for us to understand. However, let me say at the outset that there is also some misunderstanding surrounding this passage. Let's understand, first of all, what the offering was for. Let's refresh ourselves in that. This offering is being taken up not to be used in Macedonia and not to be used in Achaia, but to be transported back overland to the saints in Jerusalem, who are under a present affliction of having what has been called a dearth, a famine, a want of food in their borders. Now, what's interesting about this is that many will turn to this passage and they'll say something like, you see, there is no tithe in the New Testament. Here, it's as every man is purposed in his heart. This is the misunderstanding in this passage. May I say, and please hear me here, that this passage has nothing to do with tithing and everything to do with an offering given over and above the tithe. Why is tithing not mentioned in 2 Corinthians 9? Because it's not the subject of the chapter. It is already assumed as a pre-Mosaic ordinance that God's people will be tithing. And then all the way through the Old Testament, this was commanded upon God's people. And so let's just be clear here that we're not talking about tithing in 2 Corinthians 9. This is what Malachi speaks of when he says, will a man rob God, yet you have robbed me? How have we robbed thee, they say, in tithes and offerings? This is the offering in addition to the tithe that the Corinthian church have purposed to do. And this is why it is an offering that is the size of which is maintained by what every man has purposed in his own heart. God is not telling us, the Apostle Paul is not telling us in this passage, your giving is whatever you purpose in your heart. Your giving is the tithe plus whatever you purpose in your heart. You don't get to purpose with the tithe. That simply belongs to God. The tenth belongs to Him, and it is given in such a way that we confess when we give it to Him that He owns everything. It is the first fruit, the tenth, and all through the Old Testament this principle is so fully and foundationally established that it cannot be gainsaid when we come into the new, unless we develop a kind of dispensational hermeneutic where it must be repeated, reiterated, remanufactured in the New Testament in order for it to be binding upon the New Testament Christian. So we're not talking about tithing in 2 Corinthians 9. We're talking about this relief offering for Jerusalem, which is coming out of Macedonia and Achaia. And that's why the apostle can say, let a man give as he has purposed in his heart. Does that make sense? Okay. So notice also that there is great utility in so doing. Great utility. Just think with me providentially for a moment. Okay. What is the difficulty in the first century church? Can I put it this way? Jewish hubris? Would that be an understatement? The hubris of the Jewish churches looking down their nose at the Gentile churches and requiring of them things that ought not to be required is all over the New Testament. It's not really something we need to prove. But notice what the Lord did. He set a dearth over Jerusalem to bring those Jewish churches to their knees and raised up the Gentile churches that they may be of service to them. I think that's a pretty interesting providence, don't you? That God would indeed bring His people together. And isn't that exactly what the Apostle Paul says here in verse 12? For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. There is a drawing of the church together when one particular segment of the church is able to rise up and be of service to the other segment. And that was especially necessary in the first century. Now, I know God has not peeled back the veil so that I have some special insight into His providence as to why He sent the dearth in the first century upon Jerusalem. But that certainly makes a lot of sense to think of it in that way. So while I'll not be dogmatic on that, I will be dogmatic on what Paul says here, and that is that this brought them together. This ministration, this service that the Greek churches were to the churches of Jerusalem. Or Judea, really. Okay, and then the other thing that is important to notice about this passage is the care that the apostle has behind the scenes so that when things are conducted formally, they may be done so with a greater expediency and honor. I don't know if you saw that or not in the passage. But, you know, one thing that we actually identify in our book of church order, and I remember the first time I read it, I chuckled. Because it's so obvious that that's what we do, but nobody ever wants to say it out loud. And that is that as elders, we handle things as much as we can offline so that when things are taken care of online, they may be done with a greater honor and expediency. You don't come to the floor of presbytery and start hurling insults across the aisle. You have those conversations privately like you ought to and go as far down the road with one another as you can so that when you come together, we do not dishonor Christ by bad form, if you will. Now, we want more than form. We want also function. We want our hearts to be in the right alignment also. But notice what the Apostle Paul does here. He says, I sent these brethren to you beforehand so that when the formal delegation comes, you will already have your offering in order, and it can be collected with expediency and with honor and without shame, so that you don't appear to some to be reluctant to do the giving that you promised. And so Paul is actually, by sending this delegation ahead of time, he is defending the honor of the Corinthian church so that they would be ready and their honor would be intact when the delegation comes and they have their offering ready to put into their hands, so that they don't appear to be dragging their feet, reluctant, drawing back on their commitments, and so on. So they're handling, he is handling something ahead of time so that it can be done with greater honor and expediency later. Can I tell you that that's just wisdom? That's what that is. That is just plain wisdom. All right, and so then we notice that all of the gifts that we receive and are able to give again, that they are simply God's gift. Right? Isn't that how the chapter ends? Their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. And the unspeakable gift here is really, it's a complex of things in the context of the chapter. This is a fitting kind of an epilogue statement that kind of sums up the whole. And in summing up the whole, what Paul seems to be saying here is there is no way that we could give more than what God has given to us. And yet the gift that God has given to us, or a part of it, is that we are able to give unto others. That's a gift. That's a grace, brothers and sisters. It's not a burden that we should be of service one to another. That's a gift that we should be of service one to another. And so when the Corinthian church has the opportunity to rise up, to meet the commitments that they have made, to do that collection, to have it prepared ahead of time, and so that everything is conducted with expediency and honor, that is nothing other than God's kindness to them to be able to have something to offer to the Jerusalem church. And so what Paul would not have us do is become proud in our services one to another. Our services one to another are themselves a gift from God that should humble us, because it all comes from Him in the first place. And so that's why he ends this discourse with, thanks be to God for His unspeakable gift. Thus ends the reading of 2 Corinthians chapter 9.